And came out of the landscape of the Southwest and a lot of the reading that I was doing about Southwestern history, and in particular the Native people who lived there. Turning the wheel, one, location. No room for nostalgia here. What would it look like? The imitation of a ghost mining town, the movie set facade of a false Spanish arcade, the faceless pueblo with the usual faceless old woman grinding corn. It's all been done. Acre on acre of film locations disguised as Sears, Safeway, the Desert National Bank, Fashion Mall, Sun Valley waterbeds. Old people, rich, pass on in cloistered stucco, tiled and with fountains. Poor, at Golden Acres Trailer Ranch for adult seniors at the edge of town, close by the reassembled Church of Latter-day Saints and a dozen motels called Mountain View. The mountains are on view from everywhere in this desert, this poor, conquered, bulldozed desert, overridden like a holdout enemy village. Nostalgia for the desert will soon draw you to the desert museum or off on an unpaved track to stare at one saguaro, velvety, pleated, from a distance graceful, closer on, shot through with bullet holes, and seeming to give the finger to it all. Two, burden baskets. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news. False history gets written every day and by some who should know better. The lesbian archaeologist watches herself, sifting her own life out from the shards she's piecing, asking the clay all questions but her own. Yet suddenly, for once, the standard version splits open to something shocking, unintentional. In the elegant Southwest Museum, no trace of bloodshed or broken treaty, but behind glass, these baskets, woven for the young women's puberty dances, still performed among the still surviving Apache people, filled with offerings, cans of Diet Pepsi, peanut brittle, Cracker Jack, Hershey bars, piled there behind glass without notation in the anthropologist's typewritten text, which, like a patient voice tired of explaining, goes on to explain a different method of weaving. Three, Hohokam. Nostalgia is only amnesia turned around. I try to pierce through to a prehistoric culture the museum says were known as those who have ceased. I try to imagine them before the Hopi or Navajo, those who have ceased, but they draw back an archetypal blur. Did they leave behind for Pima or Navajo something most precious, now archaic, more than a faceless woman grinding corn? Those who have ceased is amnesia language. No more to be said of them. Nobody wants to see their faces or hear what they were about. I try to imagine a desert shamaness bringing water to fields of squash, maize, and cotton, but where the desert herself is half eroded, half flooded by a million jets of spray to conjure a rich white man's paradise. The shamaness could well have withdrawn her ghost. Self-hatred. In culture embroidery, I learn women use raveled yarn from old wool blankets to trace out scenes on homespun woolen sacks. Our ancient art of making out of nothing, or is it making the old life serve the new? The impact of Christian culture, it is written, and other influences have changed the patterns. Once they were birds, perhaps, I think, or serpents. Example, here we have a scene of flagellance. Each whip is accurately self-directed. To understand colonization is taking me years. I stuck my loaded needle into the coarse squares of the sack. I smoothed the stylized pattern on my knee with pride. I also heard them say my own designs were childlike, primitive, obscene. What rivets me to history is seeing arts of survival turned to rituals of self-hatred. This is colonization. Unborn sisters look back on us in mercy where we failed ourselves, see us not one-dimensional, but with the past as your steadying and corrective lens. Particularity. In search of the desert witch, the shamaness, forget the archetypes, forget the dark and lithic profile, do not scan the clouds massed on the horizon, violet and green, for her icon. Do not pursue the ready-made abstraction. Do not peer for symbols. So long as you want her faceless, without smell or voice, so long as she does not squat to urinate or scratch herself, so long as she does not snore beneath her blanket or grimace as she grasps the stone-cold grinding stone at dawn, so long as she does not have her own peculiar face, slightly wall-eyed, or with a streak of topaz lightning in the blackness of one eye, so long as she does not limp, so long as you try to simplify her meaning, so long as she merely symbolizes power, she is kept helpless and conventional, her true power routed backward into the past. We cannot touch or name her, and barred from participation by those who need her, she stifles in unspeakable loneliness. Apparition. If she appears, hands ringed with rings you have dreamed about, if on her large fingers jasper and sardonyx and agate smolder, if she is wearing shawls woven in fire and blood, if she is wearing shawls of undyed fiber, yellowish, if on her neck are hung obsidian and silver, silver and turquoise, if she comes skirted like a Christian, her hair combed back by missionary fingers, if she sits offering her treasure by the road to spare a brother's or an uncle's dignity, or if she sits pretending to weave or grind or do some other thing for the appeasement of the ignorant, if she is the famous potter whose name confers honor on certain vessels, if she is wrist deep in mud and shawled in dust and wholly anonymous, look at her closely if you dare. Do not assume you know those cheekbones or those eye sockets or that still bristling hair. Mary Jane Coulter, 1904. This section is in the form of an imaginary letter written by a woman who actually lived, who was an architect and designer for the Santa Fe Railroad in its expansion west, and who had a very remarkable career and life, supported herself, her mother, and her sister all her life, with her work, was deeply involved with particularly Hopi art and culture, changed the direction of Southwestern architecture from Victorian to a more indigenous kind of architecture, and who was undoubtedly part of the exploitation of Native American culture that went with westward expansion and the beginnings of tourism. A very problematic figure, but a figure worth knowing about. Mary Jane Coulter, 1904. My dear mother and sister, I have been asked to design a building in the Hopi style at the Grand Canyon. As you know, in all my travels for Mr. Harvey and the Santa Fe Railroad, I have thought this the greatest site in the Southwest, in our land entire. I am here already trying to make a start. I cannot tell you with what elation this commission has filled me. I regret to say it will mean I cannot come home to St. Paul as I hoped this spring. I am hoping this may lead to other projects here of equal grandeur. Do you understand? I want this glory. I want to place my own conception and that of the Indians whose land this was at the edge of this incommensurable thing. I know my life seems shaky, unreliable to you. When this is finished, I promise you to come home to St. Paul and teach. You will never lack for what I can give you. Your affectionate daughter and sister, Mary. Turning the wheel. The road to the Great Canyon always feels like that road and no other, the highway to a fissure, to the female core of a continent. Below Flagstaff, even, the rock erosions wear a famous handwriting, the river's still prevailing signature. Seeing those rocks, that road, in dreams, I know it is happening again, as twice while waking, I am traveling to the edge to meet the face of annihilating and impersonal time, stained in the colors of a woman's genitals, outlasting every transient violation, a face that is strangely intimate to me. Today, I turned the wheel, refused that journey. I was feeling too alone on the open plateau of pinyon juniper, world beyond time, of rock flank spread around me. Too alone and too filled with you, with whom I talked for hours, driving up from the desert, though you were far away, as I talked to you all day, whatever day. Thank you.